Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
It's Freestyle Friday, and I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Wendy Ying from Sarasota, Florida, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for October 25th. This is episode 774. This episode is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World!
Guess what day it is today? Sunday. No, it's Friday.
I can't believe it! I just don't believe it!
What's going to happen?
Something wonderful.
Thank God it's...
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Thank God it's...
I don't care what Jamie says. That's still one of my favorite openers. She doesn't like disco, so I can't play that one unless you're here, Wendy. So thanks for stopping by so I can play it.
Well, thanks for having me. It's great to join you guys.
Well, you know, it's Friday. We got a lot planned for today, and I'm looking forward to – for some reason, it just seems like it's been a long week, so I'm looking forward to the weekend this weekend.
Me too.
We're heading off to a car show tomorrow. There's one here in Ocala that's always pretty cool. They do lots of neat things at this particular car show. So we're going to do that. They have great food, great Greek food.
So, oh, that'll be fun.
Yeah, it's always a lot of fun. So we're going to do that this weekend. You know, this is the time of year in Florida when it starts to cool off. It's 46 degrees this morning, which is like freaking freezing for us. And I had to turn the heat on last night.
I can't believe it's 46 degrees up there. That's why I don't live up there. It's too cold for me.
Everybody that woke up to 20s this morning is going, what are these guys talking about? But, yeah, so it's been pretty chilly. But this is the time of year when activities start to happen again. Summer is our winter. Nothing happens over summer because it's too darn hot. And then all the fairs and the festivals and the art shows and all of that stuff starts up right now. So we have our busy time coming up here on the weekend.
I know. I'm really excited. I'm going to a dog costume party this weekend.
A dog costume party? And what are your dogs, what's Tamika going to be?
I haven't made their costumes yet. I don't know what I'm going to do. I need some advice.
Tamika's going to be a ghost. She's just going to put a sock on her with cut eye holes.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Did your parents ever make you go out as ghosts because they didn't want to do costumes? I remember doing that a few years.
I think I did it one year. My mother never made costumes for me.
Really?
No, but I used to make my own stuff. But it was usually very, you had to really think about what my costume was because you couldn't tell what it was.
It's like, okay, it's a costume, but what are you supposed to be?
It's abstract.
I've seen some pictures of you in costumes recently that I wasn't quite sure what they were. So I don't know that that's changed much.
Oh, like when I went to Comic-Con?
Yes.
That was one of my made-up costumes. You couldn't tell what I was.
Well, at Comic-Con, it really doesn't matter because you really can't tell what most of them are.
I know, but it was fun. What an experience.
I gotta say that as a geek, Comic-Con is one of the things that I've always wanted to do. I've always wanted to do it.
Well, you know what? The morning I was going to Comic-Con in L.A., I was jogging down the street in Santa Monica. Like, there was nobody on the road. And this guy in a convertible dressed as Obi-Wan Kenobi with Yoda sitting in the passenger seat drove by me. And I made him stop so I could take a picture of him.
Now, that's not something you see every day.
I know. It was awesome.
Only in L.A., right?
Yeah. So you would fit in perfectly at Comic-Con, Glenn.
I got to do that someday. It's on my list. But I needed somebody to go with. I'm sure Jennifer would go to Comic-Con with me. But
no, you can go with my sister Jasmine. She goes every year.
All right, we'll go with Jasmine. I'll go with Jasmine. We'll have fun with that. Hey, I got to tell you guys before we go on here, and we'll find out what's coming up on today's show with Jennifer. I posted a video this morning. That's kind of a long video. I think it's around 10 minutes or something. But just slog through it or do something else while you're watching it. It's a video of this guy who was doing, you know, the quadcopters that are becoming so popular that you do video from. They're like the helicopters with four propellers, and you can fly them over things, sporting events and stuff, and they put high-definition GoPro cameras on them. And they're just incredible. They're really cool. I want one, by the way. You and I have to get one of these and play with it. I think it's going to be so much fun. But and they're about $1,000 right now. I think they'll come down in price by Christmas time. We'll see them start coming down in price. But this guy was flying his, and he flew it over this herd of wild horses. And the wild horses spooked, so he thought, well, I need to get I don't want to spook the horses. He was being really good about it, and he flew away from the horses. Well, unfortunately, he flew away too far, and he lost control of his quadcopter. So he was trying to get it back, he had some human error in getting it back, and he didn't realize that instead of flying it more towards him, he was flying it away from him. So he ended up flying it back. Well, you've got to watch the video because it ends up back in the herd of horses. And he landed it, not knowing he landed it right in the middle of the herd of horses. And then you have to see what happens after that. It really, this video really shows true horse nature at work in the wild. It really was kind of cool. So take a look at it and see what the horses do after they get invaded by a quadcopter. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to watch. So that's posted on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page. You'll find that. Just search for Horses in the Morning. Jennifer, what is coming up today for Wendy and I? What kind of fun are we going to have?
On today's Kentucky Performance Products Freestyle Friday edition, Georgia was on our mind this week, so following a few proposed adventure itineraries and hair-raising headlines, Steve Crane is here with our first awesome gift idea of the season, compliments of the Georgia Horse Racing Coalition. And once we have exhausted every crappy list and all of the crazy horse people headlines, really bad ads brought to you by Stud Muffins, the ultimate horse treats, brings us the ultimate laugh track to bring us into the weekend. Stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. It's time for our daily winnings. My daily winnie goes to horse owner in Richmond, Virginia. Her name is Ashley Owens. Haven't we all had the time when we've had to fight with the Department of Motor Vehicles? I don't care what state you're from. We've all had the situation where something goes wrong and you have to try and get it fixed, and you make 25 trips to the stupid DMV, and then you have to take the little number and you have to sit there for 3 hours, and it seems like everybody's at lunch at the same time. Why in modern technology they can't figure out this is to take staggered lunches, I don't know. But anyway, you know, this happens to everybody. Well, this poor woman, Ashley Owens, had her license suspended by the Virginia Department of Motor Vehicles because they hadn't received her proof of insurance, even though she had sent it to them several times. So they suspended her license. Well, she couldn't drive to the DMV then to try and get this fixed. So what'd she do? She rode her horse. She saddled up her horse and took her horse to the DMV, tied it outside, and walked inside. Well, apparently when she walked inside, her horse was named Sassy, by the way.
Sassy.
She went in to deliver the paperwork. Well, apparently she said that the DMV wanted her to pay hundreds of dollars to get her license back. But the official listened to her story and waived the fees and reinstated her license because everybody thought it was so cool that she brought a horse. Apparently all the DMV workers went outside to get pictures with the horse.
That's cute.
She became a celebrity. The manager of the DMV came over and took care of her personally and made sure that she got her license back. So the next time you're having trouble with the DMV, just hitch up your horse and ride it on down there. Guaranteed to work every time. It might. You got a chance anyway. And do you know what she had to do? She lived so far from the DMV, she actually had a friend trailer to her like a block away. She got the horse out of the trailer and rode it down to the DMV.
Oh, my God. That's funny.
Just to make a statement.
She sounds very dramatic. I think I like this Ashley already.
Don't you love horse people?
Yeah.
We know how to be creative.
I'll fix them. I'll trailer down to the DMV and ride in there. Tie my horse outside.
I love that. Great. Ashley Owen, congratulations on getting your license back. All right, you're good.
All right, well, my Daily Winnie is actually a joint one because you are involved in the Daily Winnie too, Glenn. I want to say thank you so much for having Laura Pryor Palmer on the driving radio show the other day because she is such an inspiration and is like a fellow adventurer, and I just I love talking to her.
She was fantastic. I don't know if you got her emails after. I forwarded them to you. But she had a blast with us, and she had a lot of fun. And this was a surprise for Wendy. For those that don't know, Wendy is the host, obviously, of the driving radio show for any new listeners. And Wendy is quite an adventurer. She likes doing adventurous things and has done a lot of adventurous things in your life. And one of the things that we talked about was the Mongol Derby, the 1,000-mile race across Mongolia. And you wanted to talk to the winner of the Mongol Derby, who's 19-year-old Laura Pryor Palmer from England. And I got that arranged and surprised you. And I know how you hate surprises, but were you surprised? I didn't let that
happen. I was totally surprised. I never thought it would be her. And I thought it was really good how you kept it from me because you kept telling me about it. And I was sure you were going to break down and just tell me because you couldn't stand it another second.
That's usually the way it works with Glenn, yeah.
I know.
So, I have kept a few surprises from Jennifer, too, over the years. Like, our whole engagement was a surprise. I didn't let that one go, did I? And I planned that one for months. So,
I can't believe you held it in.
Sometimes I can hold it in. Not too often, but sometimes. Yeah, that was a true joy. And now Laura and Wendy are looking for a new adventure to do, and I have the solution. I have the adventure that you two can go on. Now, it's a tad bit expensive, so we're going to have to get over that part. But I'm sure if we did like a Kickstarter program or something, we could get you two to do this. How about a balloon flight, a hot air balloon flight to the edge of space, 19 miles above Earth? What do you think?
Awesome.
You'll be able to be weightless for a period of time, and you'll be able to see the curvature of the Earth. It takes about 90 minutes to go up at about 1,000 feet a minute, and you'll be 2 hours up there, and then it takes about 40 minutes to come down, unless, of course, the balloon breaks, and then it's going to be about 10 minutes.
Oh, my God.
Don't worry about that. That's just a little thing.
Right.
But they're going to have this capsule that 8 or 10 people will be able to walk around in. They'll have a bar. You can get a drink while you're up there.
Oh,
you
perfect.
Might need one.
Perfect.
You might need one. It's going to be put together. It's going to be one of those big silver balloons that you see the hot air adventure balloon guys use.
Oh, yeah.
It's propelled by 40 million cubic feet of helium. So I'm sure nothing could go wrong with that.
No.
And nothing could go wrong with any of this. They said it's not quite space. But it's far enough up that you will get a little bit weightless, and you'll be able to see the curvature of the Earth. So,
that'd be so much fun. I would love to be weightless.
I know. Wouldn't that be cool? So here it is. One. There's a lot of people that would like that. One teeny, teeny problem, just a little one, is it's $75,000 each.
Oh. Well, maybe we can go on the test flight. Maybe the test flight's cheaper because there's more danger involved.
Yeah, you and Laura would do that. I'll wait for the for sure it's going to not kill me flight. How about that one?
Oh, what's the fun in that? That's not adventurous.
There's a company, by the way, this is a company by the name of Worldview, appropriately enough. Yeah. It's in Arizona, and they expect to start offering the flights by 2016. So you're going to have to wait a few years. It's not quite ready to take you up yet. But it's a heck of a lot cheaper. You know that company that's making the airplane that's supposed to go into outer space and then bring you back, like a super-duper shuttle? That one's about $1 million to $2 million. So this is a heck of a lot cheaper than that.
Oh, this is cheap.
Yeah. Look.
It's a bargain.
No problem. Yeah, we'll do a Kickstarter for you and Laura to be one of the first up on the giant hot air balloon.
Okay, that sounds fun.
It was fun. If you want to hear that interview, just head over to drivingradioshow.com. Laura was a lot of fun. She was a true treat, and she says it like it is.
You know, she was really fun because she is so enthusiastic, you know, but also she does tell it like it is. And I had watched the Nightline documentary first. And it was also interesting for her to tell us, like, the difference in how they portray the people on these reality shows, you know?
Yeah, she didn't have many nice things to say about ABC's Nightline, did she?
No. But all those reality shows are like that. They always have to pick, like, a good person and the evil one and the troublemaker and the one that's, like, trying to overcome adversity. You know, that's how they do it.
Yeah, she had a few. Apparently, her swearing at the cameraman did not hit the show, right? I didn't get to see that little.
No.
Yeah.
That's
yeah, she
probably
got really
on the cable show, like on the streaming show.
Yeah. And, you know, when you talk to her, it's hard to believe you don't really think of her being 19 either, do you?
No, you don't at all. Because she's, I think it's because she's just been, you know, experienced so much. So she doesn't seem like a normal 19-year-old. She's gone outside of her little circle and experienced a lot of stuff.
Well, we do have our first guest is going to be coming up here, hopefully shortly. But before we get to that, do have a couple of, I do have a news story here that I wanted to bring up. It is racing. We're going to be talking about racing today. And, of course, next weekend is a big racing weekend for the Breeders' Cup. A total of 172 horses, including 9 of the 2012 race winners, are pre-registered for the Breeders' Cup, including our own adopted Mucho Macho Man, who we've been following for a very long time. We're going to meet Mucho Macho Man's breeders, and, of course, we've had his owners on many times here on the show, and we're going to be talking to one of his owner's friends here very shortly about racing in Georgia. They're trying to bring racing into Georgia. They don't have it currently. But then we're also going to talk to Mucho Macho Man's breeders, and apparently had quite a scare when Mucho Macho Man was born. But he is scheduled to be in the Classic this year, which will be held next Saturday, a week from Saturday. And it will be on NBC, is carrying the races both days. So you'll be able to see the races on both days on NBC and NBCSN. So both of those networks will be carrying all of the races. There's a total of $27 million up for grabs at Santa Anita Park in California. There will be 5 Breeders' Cup races on the Championship Friday and 9 Breeders' Cup races on Championship Saturday. So a lot going on there. I know where Jennifer will be. I cannot plan anything. She'll probably be taking off work that day, that Friday, and I cannot just plan anything those 2 days. I'm on my own. I have to find something to do because she will be glued to the TV set those days. But it's really cool that there are also 9 of the winners from last year going to be showing up. Mucho
yeah,
Macho Man will have
really
some,
exciting.
And Mucho Macho Man will have some competition. It's not like he's going to be running alone out there. So he will have some competition, but we know who will be rooting for, that is for sure. We're going to be speaking to someone who is very familiar with Mucho Macho Man because he knows Patty and Dean Reeves, the owners of Mucho Macho Man. And he is directly involved in trying to get racing brought into the state of Georgia. Currently, they don't have racing in Georgia. His name is Steve Crane. He's executive director of the Georgia Horse Racing Coalition. Good morning, Steve. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Well, you know Patty and Dean, and you know that we love them. We talk to them all the time before the big races. I'm sure we'll catch up with them again next week as they're looking forward to the Breeders' Cup. There are a lot, what people don't realize is there are a lot of racehorses that come out of Georgia. There's a lot of farms in Georgia, and there's a huge race community there. It's just that we don't have horse racing there.
Exactly. We actually have 3 Georgia-owned horses in the Classic, Palace Malice, Ron the Greek, and, of course, Mucho Macho Man. So I think I'll have to wheel that triple, which I didn't do on the Jockey Gold Club with Ron the Greek and Palace Malice. But to your point, yes, there is a big industry here in Georgia, and the Georgia Horse Racing Coalition, our organization is comprised of Dean, Patty, business leaders. We have a great team, a great board members, and in the last 4 weeks, volunteers have been coming out from across the country. I have resumes from people across the country that really want to help us bring racing to Georgia, because I don't know if you know, it's one of seven states in the nation where there's a ban on parimutuel wagering. And the Georgia Horse Racing Coalition, our mission is to work with the Georgia's leadership, pass a constitutional amendment, and allow the voters to approve a parimutuel wagering. And we even did a research, 72% of the voters already are in favor of it. So that's our plan and what we're looking to do.
I could probably guess this, but what are the biggest objections to it by those that object?
I would say the biggest objections are older, stereotypical thinking that racing is drugs, prostitution, mafia, you know, just old stereotypical
all the fun
thinking.
Stuff.
And the complete opposite.
All the good
opposite.
Stuff. Jeez, you mean
right.
That's not involved? Ah, I'm not
right.
Going to follow it anymore then.
Yeah.
Can you go to Alabama for that now?
The complete opposite is true. And what, you know, one of the main things I'm doing is reframing that message and making sure that the Georgia Horse Racing Coalition is clear on its message, that it's a family sport, that, you know, it's the complete opposite is true. I've been to Saratoga, to Del Mar, to Santa Anita, and when you go to these tracks, I mean, you really see a resurgence in the racing industry, and it's a great family sport. You know, I was comparing it to the NFL and pro sports, and dollar for dollar, a family of four, the best value is horse racing. Some places the admission is free. An NFL game will cost a family of four $500, and you'll be in the top row, and the players look like little raisins on a marshmallow. You know,
and people
racing,
will be throwing
yeah.
up on you after drinking large quantities of beer, which is what happens to us every time.
Exactly.
Now, I got to tell you,
yeah.
I go into Keeneland, and I will back you up. I went to Keeneland, and I could not find a prostitute in the entire place. I spent hours looking.
Well, you've been in the wrong area, okay?
No, it is nice, and, you know, there are – and tracks right now, too, out of necessity, I think, are starting to find new marketing directors and are really starting to do some fun stuff. And I've been preaching this for about 20 years, is that tracks need to start making it more of a family thing. They need to do fun things between races. You know,
yeah.
There's a long gap for 20 minutes between races that bores kids to death, and it bores me to death, to be honest with you, because I'm basically 12 years old. And I always got bored in the 20 minutes between races, and they're starting to do things and provide entertainment in those in that downtime, and that's what it's going to take to really bring people out. And they're starting to do that. So
exactly. You know, I look at Drew Scheinman at the Breeders' Cup and what they're doing at Saratoga. And to me, you know, I had a writing professor that said, good artists borrow, great ones steal. So when we look to, you know, build, you know, and have a model for racing in Georgia, we're going to look at what everybody else is doing and is really successful in and copy it. It's that simple. I mean, the Breeders' Cup, they have ambassadors throughout the country. I've already had volunteers looking to be an ambassador to promote Georgia horse racing and, you know, all the family aspects of it and just, you know, not to mention the economic boon to the state of Georgia. I mean, racing to Georgia will bring at least $100 million yearly in taxes to help the Hope Scholarship and our transportation.
How many tracks are you hoping for, Steve?
We haven't, you know, our mission is to pass the legislation first, okay? And then once the first legislation is, once that's passed, then obviously you move on and discuss, you know, a racetrack and its location. But we want to really.
I assume outside of Atlanta is going to be the prime location, obviously. I mean,
certainly there are a lot of people that look at that as a key location, but there are other locations that are viable. And, you know, again, let's get it passed first and then let everybody else decide what's going to, you know, come up with a plan on where's the best place to do the first track, what's going to have the most success and put the right foot forward. So there are a lot of places, that, you know, where it could work. But, you know, Georgia's really a big sports town, and you know, everything that all the studies we show should be very successful.
Well, now, you guys, obviously, you know, getting through legislature costs a lot of money, and you, everything you're doing with the lobbying and everything to get this done costs a lot of money. And you're doing a fundraiser here coming up, and I'm going to be buying one of these because it has our own adopted Mucho Macho Man in it. Tell us about the Fast and the Brave.
Okay, the Fast and the Brave. This is really, first the title. The Fast is for the horses. You know, the fastest horses are pictured in the calendar. And I felt the Brave is for the jockeys. These jockeys really, truly are brave, risking their life and limb every day they get on a race. And the key to me for a calendar was the photography. And we were lucky enough to have Amber Chaflin of Down the Stretch Photos donate a whole slew of pictures, just really great action shots. We have all the Triple Crown winners in there. We have Zenyatta. She's going to be at the Breeders' Cup. And we're going to have a November page dedicated to the winners of the Breeders' Cup. So what a great souvenir that is for the calendar. Then on top of that, Adam Colonisi has given us a picture of Mucho Macho Man for January. And then really the icing on the cake, Barbara Livingston sold us a photo for us to use for the December shot, which is really just like a beautiful Christmas end-of-year shot. So the photography is really world-class. And then on top of that, with all the sponsors and everybody that's been coming to our help in partnerships, we have almost $1,000 worth of coupons in the calendar. So, for instance, in Saratoga, there's two free admissions to the Saratoga Racing Museum. If you're in Del Mar, this is really a great one. Two free clubhouse season passes for the entire Del Mar 2014 meet. If you're in Gulfstream, you get a buy one entree, get one free at the 10 Palms. Kentucky Horse Park, two free general admissions. So from across the country, there are all kinds of great coupons. So if you use one coupon, then the calendar has been free. So we're really excited about that, you know, you have world-class photography and, you know, some really great values in there. So
we've
got it on our website, gahorseracing.org is where you can order it. It's only $14.95, which I've shopped all the competition, and that's a great price. And obviously all the proceeds go to the Georgia Horse Racing Coalition for our efforts to bring racing to Georgia.
I'm looking at some of the pictures here, and they really are neat. And as you said, it's only $14.95. If you want to get them as holiday gifts, which we need to start thinking about now, you can buy five or more of them, and then they're only $9.95. So
exactly.
You save a whole lot if you buy a bunch of them.
What I've been talking to trainers and people at stables is, you know, people, you get those crummy insurance calendars that they send out to their customers. Well...
We apologize to our crummy insurance calendar audience.
Yeah, sorry about that. Here's a way for if you have a stable or a trainer to really get something nice as a token of appreciation for the grooms and the exercise riders and the people that support them all year, kind of a nice little thank you. So they can order five or more, and it's just $9.95. So it also makes a really good group gift that way.
Very good.
I like
well,
to have the coupons in there. Perfect. It's like makes it more special because you can do something with it. It's not just
makes
keep
it free.
Kitty.
Right.
Free.
Pala Mountain Equine Supplements, they have a $25 off coupon. Boy, I think most people can use that right away.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Well, thank you for coming on today. It's called The Fast and the Brave. It's a racing calendar now on sale at gahorseracing.org. Jennifer will post a link to it on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page, so you can find it there as well. Our very own Mucho Macho Man is leading the way in this calendar. So if you've been, like us, a fan of Mucho Macho Man, who will win next Saturday, then you're going to want to get this calendar, because guaranteed if Mucho Macho Man wins next Saturday, these calendars are going to sell out. So order yours today, get it in, and then use it as a stocking stuffer for all of your racing friends. That's gahorseracing.com. Thanks, Steve.
.org.
Oh, .org. Yeah, I'm sorry. gahorseracing.org. That org.
Thank
is
you very much. I appreciate everything very, very much. Again, thank you.
And good luck. Keep us informed of how it's going in Georgia and where you're at.
Oh, definitely. I'll see you on Facebook. And if you guys are on Twitter, I'll see you on Twitter.
Okay. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.
Well, you know, that is something that it's hard to believe that there are states left that don't have either casinos or racetracks.
I had no idea. This is the first I've even heard of it.
So many of the states now have everything. You know, it's kind of tough to believe that. But, you know, it is the old Bible Belt there in Georgia. So
yeah.
they're fighting that battle, although that's certainly changing as well. We're going to be speaking.
Right. It is really a family sport. I grew up, you know, when I was wanting to be a vet as a little kid, I used to go with the vet to the racetrack, you know.
Oh, really?
Because, you know, he's going to the racetrack. That's always the exciting day when you get to go to the racetrack for kids.
So you actually grew up wanting to be a vet? You did want to be a vet growing up?
When I was a teenager. And then I wanted to be a plastic surgeon, and then I went back to wanting to be a vet.
You know, you would have made more money in plastic surgery, right?
I know. That's why I thought maybe I should do that.
You know, if you were in plastic surgery, we wouldn't be talking about the $75,000 balloon flight. You would have already reserved one.
I would already own half that company. Please.
You blew that, Wendy.
I know, totally. Oh, well.
Let's take a break out for our commercial from Kentucky Performance Products today, and we'll be right back after that with our next guest.
This Nutrition Minute is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products, the company that simplifies your search for research-proven nutritional supplements at kppusa.com.
Commercial feeds are fortified with nutrients such as proteins, vitamins, and minerals. They are made up of a variety of ingredients that provide a particular amount of energy. Most feeds have been designed to address the needs of a certain type of horse. It is important to understand that all feeds are formulated by nutritionists to be fed in specific amounts. When the correct amount of feed is provided, the horse consumes the appropriate amount of energy and nutrients. The feeding directions included on the feed bag or the feed tag are specific to the particular feed and should be followed. When you feed less than the recommended amount of feed, your horse is not getting the full complement of nutrients that he or she may need. On the other hand, too much of a good thing can also be bad. The overfeeding of concentrates can lead to grain overload and oversupplementation, and feed should never be cut or mixed with other fortified feeds or plain grains because this changes the nutrient profile and can cause imbalances in energy, protein, vitamins, and minerals. If you need to include additional supplements in your horse's diet, choose products that are formulated to complement, not compete with fortified feeds. If you feed a plain grain such as oats, additional fortification may be necessary. Kentucky Performance Products supplements are specifically designed to complement, not compete with the modern concentrates used by today's horse owners. Each supplement is manufactured to exacting standards in certified facilities using stringent quality control guidelines. So choose Kentucky Performance Products supplements because the horse that matters to you matters to them. Learn more about Kentucky Performance Products supplements at kppusa.com. That's kppusa.com.
This Nutritional Minute has been brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. You can find all of their terrific products at kppusa.com.
You can also follow Kentucky Performance Products on Facebook. Just search for Kentucky Performance Products. That's Kentucky Performance Products over on Facebook. They're always posting cool things over there, so you'll want to check those out. Well, Wendy, if you start to hear a chainsaw in the background, it's because they are trimming our live oak trees here at the farm in Florida. I posted a picture this morning. Apparently, live oak trees need a haircut about every 5 years because who knew that so many branches die? I know you have live oak trees, and you're always getting branches down. So every 5 years, you're supposed to come in and have the tree people come in and trim them. But, boy, these guys do know what they're doing. And talk about crazy. This guy, now, you know how big our live oak trees are. They're huge.
Right.
And
yeah.
This guy is with his little sticky things on his feet, and a rope, and he's climbing the tree with the chainsaw hanging off his belt.
No
and
way.
And he's getting up into the top of that tree, cutting the branches down and trimming out the dead stuff. They're nuts. These guys are just totally nuts.
They are nuts. And plus, there's all kinds of bugs up there.
You know, it's funny that you say that because I thought about that, too.
Like, what about snakes and bugs?
Can you imagine
giant
the spiders.
Spiders
he gets into? Yes, the banana spiders, which are rampant this time of year. The banana spiders are everywhere.
Yeah.
And, by the way, yes, they look like bananas because they're yellow. But and they get really big. They get to be about
they're
the
giant.
Size of the palm of your hand. They'll get
yeah.
to be huge. And they make the webs that the banana spiders make are truly incredible. I have never seen webs made in such perfect circles by any spider. You know, you see them out at your place, too. It looks like a bullseye, doesn't it? And it's a perfect circle.
It's a perfect circle. And imagine being there. You have your chainsaw on your belt, and you're, like, precariously hanging on. And then you get in one of those spiders, and you know how you just, like, I mean, I do at least, automatically go, ah! Scream and like move my hands around, I totally chop off my leg.
And the other thing about spider, the banana spider webs is they're sticky. They're not like regular spider webs. When you get them on you have to, you know, just sort of try, you can rub them off. The banana spider webs are sticky. You get them on and you just can't get the darn things off. So I don't know what this guy goes through. I really admire him because he's about 40 feet up in the tree right now outside my window. So
yeah. You know, when I go riding with your wife, I hope she's not listening right now. But I always make her go first. So in case she runs into any banana spider nest, she gets it first.
Wait a minute!
Oh, no, she's still there.
She carries a fly whisk, and in Florida, we don't really need it for the flies. You need it to get the spider webs down. That's why you carry it. And then the poor horse comes back covered. His face is covered in spider webs. Oh.
Yeah.
It's one of
they don't mind it as much as we do.
It's one of the things about living in beautiful Florida. You have to put up with the banana spiders. But anyway, if you do start to hear the chainsaws, let us know, and Jennifer can run out and tell them to hold off until we're done doing the show this morning.
this is our tribute to Halloween today. Chainsaws.
Yes, it does rather sound like a horror movie outside. And it kind of looks like one because there are branches down everywhere. We could barely get the car out last night. So. Let's go to our next guest. I'm very excited about this. We have been following Mucho Macho Man, and Mucho Macho Man has been our adopted racehorse since Mucho Macho Man started racing. I mean, way, way back. Since we started the show 2.5 years ago, that was the first owner of a racehorse we talked to was Patty and Dean Reeves, and we've had them on 100 times since then. We absolutely love them. They're terrific people, just super nice, and they come on anytime we ask them. And, you know, I don't know who else would do that, but we're the biggest fans of Mucho Macho Man ever. And now Mucho's going to be in the, you know, in the Breeders' Cup again next weekend. And Jennifer did her due diligence and found the people who bred Mucho Macho Man. And they're right down the street from us. Who knew? So we are going to be speaking to John and Carol Rio. And they're not huge breeders. It's not what you would expect. And they also have something else they breed that I want to talk about as well. So who do we have here? Do we have John or Carol or both?
Both.
Well, hi, guys.
Hi.
Hey, how you doing, Glenn?
Good. Now, you have to speak up because you're real quiet. So have to speak up as much as you can. But
okay.
It's so good. So good to have you on. We love Mucho Macho Man. We love the Reeves. Tell us the story of Mucho's mama, and I especially the story about this mare's unique birthing style. And especially Wendy, my co-host, is going to be really interested because she's a vet. So she'll be really interested in this story.
Oh, okay. That's great. Well, Mucho Macho Man's dam, Ponce de Leona, we purchased in full to Macho Uno, carrying the Mucho Macho Man. Of course, we didn't realize that when we purchased her in Keeneland, a sales company. But we purchased her in November. She was due. She was on a late cover, so she was due in May. And she was approximately 3 weeks overdue. So we kept a close eye on her. She didn't really like being in a stall, so we figured, well, we'll turn her out in a small paddock and let her get comfortable enough. And, you know, we left the farm. We were there day and night, you know, and we would relieve one another and so forth. And just this particular day, We decided to go ahead and leave the farm, go home and attend the dogs, all of us, and leave the farm manager to watch the mare. And on our way back to the farm, we got a call, and he said the mare was in the field foaling. So we kind of kept him on the phone while that was occurring. And then when we pulled in, we're still on the line, and the mare was, you know, we got there, and the mare had foaled him out already, but he appeared lifeless. So, there was just no breathing. So, you get down, you rub him, and you clear the nostrils and so forth, and we thought he was dead, I mean, there was just, he was just not moving. So the farm manager's wife prayed over him, as we did all of us, and lo and behold, he stood up, and I mean, he didn't stand up. He kind of propped up on his elbows and looked up, and then he jumped up and ran off. And he didn't run off like three strides. I mean, he like ran off probably 100 feet.
Yeah, he did. And the farm manager just yelled out, "You ought to call him Lazarus. You ought to call him Lazarus."
That was so funny.
And
the power of prayer.
That
is so funny. Well, I'm glad I got the end of that story. It sounded bad in the beginning as I was listening.
Yeah, it's not something that normally happens. We usually always fall in a stall, but, she just didn't appear like she was going to have it any time. She didn't progress any more than she had, the week prior or anything like that. And we just felt, let's let her out and get comfortable. And we had done that on, within the 3-week period as well, to get her to stretch her legs while we cleaned her stall and whatnot. And always kept an eye on her, as so did the farm manager when we were gone. But it was just, it was just her time to have it. And
isn't that always the way? It's like you stay awake for 3 weeks, and the one day you say, "I can't go on another second. We're just going to go home for 15 minutes or whatever." It's always then. It's always when you stop watching, they decide to have it.
It is. Always. Always works out that way. Always.
Or at 2:30 in the morning.
Right.
Right.
This was actually during the day. It was in the afternoon, and it was Father's Day. And so, the following day or later that day, I can't exactly remember, but I know it was within the first 24 hours, I said to my husband, "Well, there's your Father's Day gift." And he replied back, "Well, we'll see how good it is in another few years."
I think that's his best
nice
present
gift.
Yet.
Very nice gift.
A few years has gone by, and it's been a very nice gift.
Yeah.
For sure.
And he keeps
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. He just keeps giving this horse. He's really an amazing horse. He was always a very kind horse. He was a big, gangly horse, but he was always a good horse. He really always had a good temperament, easygoing. Would do anything really to please you. He wasn't the typical high-strung thoroughbred. He was just really a laid-back horse. I will say that from the time he was born through, as long as we had him through his 2-year-old year.
How did the Reeves end up with him? Because he was a late baby. If you're having a baby in June, that's really late for a thoroughbred. How did the Reeves end up with him then?
Well, what happened was when he started, he's a late foal. So obviously, we breed to sell. We generally don't breed to race our own. So we breed to sell, whether it be a weanling or a yearling or a 2-year-old in training. And he was just a real immature, gangly horse, being a June foal. That was normal. We decided to offer him as a yearling rather than enter him through a sale. We decided to offer him, a majority of them, to our client, James Culver. And he took a majority of the horse, and we decided to keep him and run him. And so that's what we did. And we recommended Bill White, of course. So we broke him and got him going and sent him down a bill in the spring of his 2-year-old year. And Bill probably had him the 6 to 8 weeks, in probably 8 weeks, I think it was, eight, nine weeks from leaving our farm in his first race. And after his first race, he ran second. He ran a good second. to Gourmet Dinner, and that's when the Reeves approached to buy the horse. And that's how they actually bought the majority of them at that time.
Interesting. I know the Reeves like to eat really good food, so I'm really surprised they didn't buy Gourmet Dinner, too, because that's a great name.
That is a nice name.
You know, that's who their original, it was interesting how they ended up with Mucho, because from what I understand from Dean, he had said his original, who he originally wanted to buy was Gourmet Dinner. And I'm sure he did buy a Gourmet Dinner now. I mean, as far as the meal part, because he ended up with Mucho, but yeah, so that was the interest. That's what spiked his interest, was Gourmet Dinner, and it just happened to be that he also liked the second place horse, and that was Mucho.
Now, you guys have only about a few mares, so you're not a huge breeding operation down here in Ocala, but now But you do other things, too, and all of us horse owners own dogs, and Wendy's a dog owner, we're a dog owner. And you guys not only have a championship racehorse under your belt, you have a few championship dogs under your belt, too.
Yeah, you know, the dogs, it's interesting because I ended, my mother always, going back to the dogs, my mother always wanted a Westminster dog or a show dog, and obviously Westminster is the show that, you know, everybody looks forward to, just like it is the Derby and horses and the Breeders' Cup. So I got, you know, I rode as a young child. I rode horses, show horses, and we acquired a Boston Terrier, and that was, you know, just something that I picked at, you know, a dog that I liked. And my mother and I started to breed them as, you know, when I was young, and I just continued on through all the way up through now. And, So the dogs have been a big part of this. But we've never owned a lot of dogs either. Everyone says, how many dogs did you own? Because a lot of dog show breeders own a lot of dogs. I mean, when I say a lot, I mean, they generally have a string of 20 dogs that they use as their breeding program. I have always felt, even, and it transferred to the horses, I've always felt quality is better than quantity. So I only have probably three breeding females at most, and I only breed a litter every 3 or 4 years. And I've just been fortunate because I've had 3 Westminster winners.
What kind of dogs? Tell us, you have one of my favorite breeds, and what's interesting about this is you have Minpins, which are the miniature pincers, and I don't like Doberman pincers at all, but I've had a few experiences with Minpins, and I loved them. The ones I've met seem to have a whole different personality than their big counterparts.
I must say that the Minpin is a breed that I went into from Boston's because I like the breed as well. It was a very interesting breed. They're very, very smart. They're a very compulsive breed, with one another, and everything has to be theirs, and they hide all their toys, and they're a very, very smart breed, and they're very hyper, though. I think if the only thing that I don't like about them is probably they yap a lot. But as far as a breed, they're energetic, they're loving, they're really a one owner. They really attach to one person in the house. So I do find that about them. But I love the breed. And yes, I've bred, you know, currently, it's interesting because Mucho's going to the Breeders' Cup Classic, which is the world championship horse race. And I'm sure he'll be going in as one of the likely favorites. And I have one of the likely favorites, being the Minpin, going into the Yukonuba World Championships in December. I am very proud of the dog. It's my third litter of Minpins, and she's the all-time winningest Minpin in breed history. She's got 106 best in shows. She's the number 3 dog currently as of the end of September of all breeds in the country. So, and she's a fabulous little show dog, and she's got a great personality.
Do you get more nervous watching Mucho Macho Man or the Minpin?
Probably Mucho, because Classy is the Minpin's name. I get more nervous with Mucho because any, you know, in a horse race, even though you know your horse is what he is, and he does show up for every race, and he's a great horse, one of those horses, once they get out of the gate, it's like, you know, you hope he doesn't get shut off, you hope he doesn't stumble, you know, stuff like that. So I get a little more nervous in that situation. As far as the, you know, Classy, I get a little nervous in Best in Show because she gets pretty wound up some days. And you just, you know, she does have to be, you know, on her toes, don't get me wrong, but she gets a little wound up. Sometimes she could, you know, if I'm going to get nervous, it's in the Best in Show lineup for sure. It seems like she can handle the groups real well, but she gets the Best in Show. She knows that she's, you know, she's a queen out there.
Yeah. That's so funny.
Now, who does she attach to, John? Is it you or your wife?
All the animals and kids attached to her only. She's like a mentor. She gathers
the one with the
cooking right underneath her.
She's the one with the little flute leading away to the cliff.
Exactly. And as you know, you can see who talks the most in the family.
You know, he calls me Takeover Carol. Oh, gosh. But, no, we have a good time. We really do work well together, and we enjoy both the dogs and the horses. And we've just, you know, they all have their personalities, whether they're, you know, big winning animals or they're just, you know, here as pets. You know, we do believe in the animals, you know, is first before anything. So, you know, before a show, before a race, you know, it's all about the animal we care about.
They even eat before I do.
Oh. Do you ever have dog show horse race conflicts? And if you do, what do you have to do then?
You know, the Classy's actually owned by Armando Angibello and Leah Monti is who she's owned by. We do travel around and watch Classy as much as we can, a little bit more frequently probably than Mucho because, you know, she has more shows rather than a horse that runs every 6 or 8 weeks. Classy's mm-hmm. out every weekend. But as far as we laugh about this because we almost feel like they can talk to one another through the air. I don't know why that is, but it's interesting because if Mucho wins, like when he won the Awesome Again Stakes, we looked at one another and said, that's it, Classy's winning a Best in Show because she just will not let Mucho be ahead of her. You know, I mean, she's got to be the last one to talk. And sure enough, that's how it works. It seems like every time one, you know, like if Classy wins the group or Best, I should say, if and he's running the next day, it's bound to happen that he will win the race. So it's always happened like that throughout this, and yet they never met one another.
Right. Okay, well, that's good to know because I'm going to keep an eye on what Classy's doing so I can bet on Mucho Macho Man on his race.
Yeah,
there you go.
That's
a surefire plan. That always
surefire
works.
Plan.
You know, we always think we have it down pat. We can't wait for the Classic because we said if Mucho wins the Classic, I mean, Classy's got to win her Classic then, you know, in December, which is just a month later, you know.
Can we bet on the dogs? Is that allowed? Because if it's going in that order, then we have to bet on the dogs. I don't think they allow that. So. Not legally, anyway.
No, they don't, unfortunately.
Well, John and Carol, thank you so much for joining us, the breeders of Mucho Macho Man. We'll be thinking about you next weekend.
Thanks a lot. I get to say
all
the
right,
last.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, have a good day.
Thank you, Grant.
All right, thanks.
All right, bye-bye.
Isn't that funny? Now, is that a common thing, Wendy, for the horses to come out, like, you know, playing totally dead and then just pop up?
Yeah, well, sometimes they do, they need a little boost to get breathing, you know, because their lungs haven't inflated. So a lot of times the fall down to the ground, especially in cows, like stimulates their breathing. And a lot of times you have to rub them. You need to get them going. So they did rub him all over. So maybe he's just like, you know, pulling it all together. Because they have to transfer to having the fluid in their lungs to breathing oxygen.
So he got up and just took off across the field. That was a sign, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. They don't usually do that. Just get up and take off.
I'm ready.
Running.
Let's go. Start training.
That's so funny.
I'm an hour old. Where's the gate? Bring the gate. Let's take a break for our song today, and we're going to come back. We have really bad ads coming up. Wendy's going to be helping with that today, and more show for you in just a few minutes. But first, It's Time to Ride by Trish Lynn. We'll be back in a couple minutes. Well, that was It's Time to Ride by Trish Lynn. You can hear all of her music at trishlynn.com. And she's, of course, the leader of the All-American Cowgirl Chicks, which is a stunt group of young ladies who travel across the country doing rodeos. And I just saw that they are going to be in the Rose Bowl Parade again this year for like their sixth or seventh time. And what's really cool, Wendy, is that, you know how they have the saddles where you can, they have them set up that the stunt riders can ride standing up. They're standing up and leaning forward. They ride the whole 5 miles of that parade standing up.
Oh, my God.
Now, that's some leg burn right there.
That is definitely leg burn.
Trish Lynn, well, you are listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenda Geek here with Dr. Wendy Ying of the Driving Radio Show. Coach Jen is in the producer chair. Jamie will be back on Monday. She, her brother, and family came in, and they sleep in the studio. So she couldn't wake them up to get the show started at 4:30 in the morning out there. Or she could have, but it wouldn't have been very pleasant. So she decided to take the day off. But she'll be back all 3 days next week. She'll be back. So don't worry. Jamie will be back. But we always love having Wendy here. And one of the things we're going to start doing from now until the holidays commence, or end, rather, is talk to you a little bit about some products that we have tried that we really like, products that we're going to give you a little bit of reviews that we think would make great holiday gifts. Some people start to shop for the holiday gifts much sooner than we do. For example, Jennifer's mother, who is probably listening right now, hello, Pat, starts shopping at about January 15th and starts asking us what we want about April 15th. And to be honest, I never decide what I want until about December 24th. So,
Glenn, can I interrupt you here?
Yes.
Glenn, Jennifer's mother is obviously also a metal.
Yes.
and she has it all planned out from the very beginning. So you can't change that. That's how it's going to work.
No, and for 25 years, she's been trying to change me and get her, you know, get me to give some ideas before the day before Christmas, and it just hasn't worked. I'm just not geared for that because I'm a fire and we don't plan ahead. So,
well, she should just get your opinion like the day after Christmas for next year.
It doesn't work either. Maybe it's just because I don't really have any opinions. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's the problem. Because
you like anything.
That's true. I kind of do like anything. Yeah. Except fish. I don't eat fish. Jennifer, one of the products that we found at the American Equestrian Trade Association show that you have been using nonstop since that show the entire summer and has to be one of your favorite products, and this is a stocking stuffer price, is rider sleeves. Tell us about rider sleeves.
Well, we've all sat and watched while getting sleepy on a Sunday afternoon a football game, and you see the players all running around with shiny colored arms now to keep their elbows from getting skinned, but it's a little bit more than that. They have made athletic wear for people that, A, protects your arms, but B, and more importantly, B, keeps you cool. They're called rider's sleeves, and we met this young lady at the ADA show, and she is marketing them specifically for horse folks in horse folks sizes, not football player sizes. And they're socks for your arms. It's just the sleeve. That's all there is. But it's this really lightweight, stretchy stuff, and it comes in cool colors. And you put them on your arms, and when you go outdoors and you get a little bit sweaty and your skin becomes a little bit damp, there's something about the fabric that causes it to evaporate much faster than normal, which makes your arms feel cool. Ah! So you can feel cool. She loves to say that these sleeves make you cool. Well, I'm not really cool. I'm major league dorky, but I feel cool. And that's important.
Really,
and I got
cool
a pair while we were at ADA, and I love them to death. I don't have to put on slimy, disgusting sunblock that gets gooey and gross. I get protected from the massive number of mosquitoes here in Florida, and my arms are cooler. So it's a great product. It's a great stocking stuffer because it's small, it's inexpensive, with $14 or something. And you can stuff them in, and they're great for somebody who has everything. Because it doesn't matter where you live in the country, at some point in the summer months, it's hot and or buggy. I can think of right now,
yeah,
folks in the Michigan area, they have, isn't the mosquito the state bird of Michigan?
Yeah, all up there that have lakes. If you have lakes, you're going to have huge,
yeah,
mosquitoes. Even Alaska has huge mosquitoes.
Yeah, all you folks in the lake areas, you need to get rider sleeves, because even if you don't need the cooling aspect of it, for the protection aspect, they are awesome.
And they're,
you know,
99%.
Like too?
Yeah, go ahead.
If your triceps are not as fit as you'd like them to be, you know, if you're a little bit jiggly, they're awesome because you put them on and it's like a girdle for your grandma pocketbook.
It makes you look buffer. That's not in the ad here.
I'm looking at their website.
It doesn't say anything about looking buffer.
They should be saying that. They don't have those problems yet. They're young, like show jumper riders. Wait till they get old and start doing carriage driving. They're going to understand our problems here.
They're not. I'm looking at the ad here on their website, by the way. Their website is riderssleeves.com, and you actually see them in a lot of tack shops now. But 99% UV protection. They're breathable two-way material, antimicrobial, extra stretchy, so one size fits all. That's the other thing about that. One of the things we talked about that makes this a great holiday gift is you don't have to worry about sizing.
Mm-hmm.
They're great for any outdoor activity. It doesn't have to be riding. It can be anything you're doing outside. They come in black, white, sky blue, and pink, so you can get colors, one of each color if you want to match every outfit. But you'll find them over at riderssleeves.com, and you can check them out over there. But this is our first gift sort of stocking stuffer idea that we have for you. And one of the things, too, and Jennifer, you know you did this, is you can get them wet. and you actually soak them in water before you head out, and then put them on, and that as the water is evaporating, it cools your arms off. So, you know, when it gets really hot here at almost 100 degrees, and it was really hot over the summer in a lot of places, that is that's something else that really helps. So check them out, Rider Sleeves. It's our first stocking stuffer idea of the year. Well, guys, what do you think? 10:04. I think it's time for this.
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. But they'll lay down lie with a sincere stare.
Somebody's knocking at the door.
Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
Wendy, it sounds like a horse just came into your house.
Sorry, no, I had somebody knocking on the front door, so I like ran out there. I know. Sorry.
That's okay. That happens all the time. UPS man always comes during the show.
Yeah, UPS man always comes. Jamie's horses always get loose, or the chickens are getting eaten by wolves or something.
I'm not having that problem today.
A lot happens during the show here on Horses in the Morning. Hey, these really bad ad segment is brought to you by Stud Muffins. They're the horse treat that are 100% handmade. They craft each batch with care and devotion to produce the ultimate horse treat for your equine herd, whether you have one or 100. They've been making their treats since 1997. Each treat contains grains such as wheat, oats, barley, and corn, and they are fortified with flaxseed and other wholesome ingredients, ensuring that they are as healthy as they are enjoyable. Horses do go crazy for Stud Muffins. They are also great for giving pills and other medicines because they're sticky, so you can just stuff it in there and they're going to eat it. Look for special Christmas items on display at your tack shop or feed store soon, or search Stud Muffins on Google. You'll find their website, and you can give an order there. So that's Stud Muffins for the ultimate treat for your horse this holiday season. And Jennifer, what are the prizes for Really Bad Ads today?
The Really Bad Ads prize table contains, from horsegroomingsolutions.com, a grooming tote filled with products valued at over $100. And if you are curious about what comes in that $100 tote, you need to look at our Facebook page, because Robin Kane, who won one, just posted a fantastic picture. When you need gentle, effective, economical products for your daily or show grooming needs, look no further than the Horse Grooming Solutions brands that you have come to know and love. Healthy Hair Care, voted number one horse health brand by consumers. Silverado Show Grooming, that's for Wendy. And Old Timers Equine, guess who that's for? When you can find them all,
Wendy,
at your local tack and
supplier.
Or you can go online to horsegroomingsolutions.com. Old Timers Equine should be the title grooming product brand for carriage driving.
It should be.
Oh, gee.
That's true.
I'm
also
not say
on the
that
table,
on the driving
taking
show.
Up,
we might be getting some
taking up three
from
quarters of the space. Moving on, send your
today.
Hate mail. Send your hate mail to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. The Equity Flexin Fork. It is a premium quality manure fork built right here in the USA to last 4 years. The ultra-tough, distinctive yellow basket is backed up by an unprecedented Baker's Dozen-month warranty against time breakage. Patented flexible backbone lever relieves stress so tines don't snap. Besides durability, customer testing shows that these forks work better, too. You'll clean your stalls faster. That's what that means. A large basket, lightweight fiberglass handle, flexible backbone lever support, and ergonomic grip make picking up after your horse easier than ever. The Equity Flexin Fork is the solution to all of your manure cleaning needs. I used the battery-operated kind, the Shaken Fork, this morning to clean Glenn's Sloppy Pony's stall.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. She's such a loving wife. Look what she does for me. That's all right. It is time for Really Bad Ads. This is the time when our listeners submit bad Craigslist ads that usually have something to do with horses, or they have something to do with farm animals or farm implements of some sort. You'll find it in the farm section at Craigslist all over the country. And we got some good ones today. There seems to be a theme today. You're going to find a theme. I will have a quiz after the show to see if the listeners know what the theme is when we're done. And we don't have a bad trailer today. We have one of the coolest trailers that we have ever seen today. So we're gonna talk about that too. But let's get started. We have a quarter horse for sale or trade for $400 sent in by Hignut. I guess Hignut doesn't have a name. That's not a real name, I don't think. Hignut sent this one in Lauderdale County, Tennessee. I wish Jamie was here to do her southern accent because she doesn't understand with me. It's a 15-hand, 10-year-old. His name is Cruiser. He's a beautiful boy with one blue eye. I'm looking to sell or trade him for a more experienced horse. Cruiser would be good speed horse, or I've been told. Apparently he hasn't tried Cruiser. He can cut out across the pasture. Well, you know what? I have really not seen a horse who couldn't cut out across the pasture. Most of them will do that at some time or another. Yeah. Doesn't like to tie or load, but will after he throws a fit.
Oh, good.
This ad is very honest. There's one person I can get him to load with without acting up. Oh, he doesn't say who. I'm a beginner. He's not a beginner.
No.
He needs a stern rider that's going to make him mind. He's not good with groundwork. He's good with new things, and in case that's a lot of stuff. He'd make a good horse if he just made his mind by somebody that knows what they're good at doing and isn't scared. He's not crazy. He's just hard-headed. Email me.
He's just misunderstood.
That's it.
It's not him. It's not him. It's her. That's what I love about these ads. They are like totally person relationship. It's not you. It's me.
That's right.
It
is. When you read this ad, you could read this as a personal ad too.
Totally.
I should have changed it. I should have thought about that ahead of time. I could have changed it around to be a personal ad because it would so fit. I love that. I'm not a beginner. He's not a beginner's horse. Or I'm a beginner. He's not a beginner's horse. Yeah. Well, $400 for that one, though, in Tennessee, you know, that's a real bargain. You should go get him, Wendy, because you're not a beginner. You'll be fine.
I'll be fine. And, you know, he's 10 years old. He still has time to be broke or something.
He still has time to break you, too, Wendy. Keep that in mind.
10 years old. This is what also is amazing. Like, after having to get through 10 years, she is definitely like a personal ad. She's trying to make it work.
And that is the first time, though. I think my favorite line here is it's the first time we've ever had this in the ad in 2.5 years. Doesn't like the tire load, but will after he throws a fit.
Yeah, that's
the best line ever. All right. Ellen is up next.
Yeah, the next one's from Ellen Bartkus. Horse in West Palm Beach. I purchased this quote-unquote jewel a few years ago for my girlfriend's daughter. Idea was that they could grow up together. Oh, my God. Ding, ding, ding. That's always a bad thing. Unfortunately, her father feels that since I'm in a relationship with her mother, he does not need to pay child support. So, I will have to stop investing in a possible bright future for both. Red Recession, the name of the horse, is all one could want in this little mare. 14.02 hands. Now, price is just a fraction of a real value. Asking $12,000.
Oh, whoa!
I know. Of course, I would be willing to negotiate a possible barter against... Oh, this is the best. Sorry. Possible barter against gold
only
coins,
in Palm
gold
Beach.
Bars, silver bullion. He must watch a lot of Fox News, let me tell you. Goes without saying that she is up to date with everything. If interested, you're more than welcome to come and ride a few times. If purchased, I will deduct all the expenses from the total. Please, no tire kickers. It's a horse. Don't waste mine or your time. If there are any questions, feel free to contact me.
I love this. A barter against gold coins, gold bars, or silver bullion. What? It's in West Palm Beach, Florida. What else would you want? I mean,
I know.
He's already got the Lamborghini. So,
that's what I'm saying.
You know,
I watch Fox News. He knows that the only safe investment right now is gold coins, gold bars, silver bullion.
That's it. He's got the car. He's got the house. Doesn't need any of that crap. But I'll be damned. I'm dating this woman, but I'm not going to support her kid. And her ex-husband is not supporting him either. So I'm out of here. Nice guy.
I know. That's the other thing I love about Craigslist. Why did they put that in? Do we need to know about this? Your, like, you know, love triangle going on here? No.
Yeah, nice
and
guy.
And what about no tire kickers? It's a horse. That is kind of
I want to call and ask for the girlfriend and say, look, read this ad, read between the lines, and dump the jerk. I really want to do that.
Yeah. You go ahead and do that, Glenn.
Jennifer won't let me, so.
She's probably in the office.
Mary sent the following one in, and before the show, Wendy said, go buy this today. So I guess we have to go shopping today. This is a very short ad. Standard gray Jack Donkey, $50 in Williston, Florida. Intact Jack Donkey for sale. Not friendly. No Coggins call.
I want that one. I think I could change his ways. I think he's just misunderstood.
Oh, he's misunderstood, I'm sure. Yeah. I have a suggestion, though. Why don't you come up and help us load the not friendly donkey? Because I'm thinking that's going to be an experience.
I didn't think about that part.
I think he's probably going to have a fit before we're able to load him. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, but then he looks fine after he has his fit. After that,
he'll have a fit. It'll be fine. Yep, yep. I just don't want to be around those little donkey feet while he's having a fit.
I think this donkey probably came from your pony's farm. It's probably PT's friend. We could just bring PT over there in the trailer, and the donkey would probably jump right in. He's probably not friendly because someone bought his friend.
Well, it could be. That's probably true. I hope not, because then he'd be skinny as a rail, too. But for $50, he might be. I don't know.
He's going to be skinny for $50. Not friendly, no Coggins.
All right, Uta is up next. Uta sent this one in.
Okay, free horse to good home. Riley is a 2-year-old stud. He is in great shape. We got him for an 11-year-old girl last year. He is too much for her to handle and has been running with a mare. He does rear up and bite. He needs someone who is experienced. Rather than getting him fixed, we chose to get a broke horse instead for our daughter. He was really gentle when we got him. Yeah, exactly. Only contact me if you are serious and really care about animals. Thanks for looking.
Okay.
Ridiculous.
Do you think these people don't know that you can do something about the stud problem? Do you think they don't know that those two little appendages can come off? You think?
Yeah, but it says they didn't want to spend the money to get the surgery, obviously. So they just bought another horse.
That's much cheaper than getting him gelded. Yeah.
Do you think they don't know that you could separate him from the mare and he wouldn't be running with the mare anymore? Just saying.
But they probably call to each other. They want to be together. He wants friends.
By the way, for the listeners, do you see the thread through all of the ads? It's amazing. Every week we tend to have a thread, and we don't plan it that way. It's just what people send in. But you don't want to be buying a horse in this week's Craigslist ads unless you're experienced. And look out for the biting, kicking, rearing, because that's a different problem.
Elizabeth, I think sometimes they put that in, biting, rearing, kicking, as if it's a positive thing. He does rear up and bite.
He will kick you in the face and then bite it off. That's exactly what that's saying. Three horses. Elizabeth Stam sent this one in. Three horses, $500. Well, there's a deal. It's in Oregon City. I'm not sure where that is. We have three horses for sale. All three horses go together. Don't ask to separate the horses. And the tax are included, and some hay go with, too.
Ooh.
There are older horses, and yes, they're broke to ride. All three horses are. Must go. Is this a riddle or a rhyme? I'm not sure.
This is written by Yoda.
It's haiku. It does sound like Yoda. I wish I could do a Yoda voice. There are older horses, and yes, they're broke to ride, all three horses are. Must go.
Yeah, see?
We want the horses to go to good home. Two mares and one gelding. We possible take less for horses. Please read the ad first before calling.
What is that supposed to mean?
Okay. How would you not read the ad before you call? It's four sentences. But obviously they've had that problem.
I don't know.
And Wendy, when you call, do not ask to separate the horses. Just don't ask.
No, don't ask.
I love the fact that tax are included, too. Tax and horses really don't get along well. I don't think they realize that.
I know. What is that supposed to mean, tax?
Tax. I think they were talking about the horse tack, but maybe that's plural for horse tack, and we didn't know it. Tax.
We are so dumb. I can't believe we didn't
know
that.
Reba sent the next one in.
Okay. Free standard donkey, Northwest Ocala. Oh, here, we can get another one. I have a gray Jake donkey with cross on back and Z-bar stripes on legs. He's about a year and a half old. Have old what?
He's a have old. He's have old.
He's have old. A year and a half.
You know,
old. That's a plural for half, I guess.
I hate to do a bad pun, but that's what I'm best at. Wouldn't it be a real burden to carry the cross on your back that whole your whole life?
Oh, you're so sad.
Sorry for the religious jokes, everybody. Sorry. Yourself. Sorry. I grew up Catholic. What do you want? There's a lot of guilt there. Rachel sent the following one in, and this. Normally, we have bad horse trailers every week. And, you know, you would think, because this ad is for a 1993 horse trailer, which is what, you know, that's 20 years old, right?
Correct.
Did I count that right?
Right.
Yeah. So it's 20 years old. You would think it would be a really bad horse trailer and look awful. This is the coolest damn two-horse trailer I've ever seen in my life, and I want to buy it. And it's all the way in Arizona. I'm going to tell Jamie, go over and pick it up, and we'll come out to get it at some point. Because
oh, yeah,
this the
that's
coolest
a great idea.
Trailer you've ever seen.
I love it.
It is just, it looks like something out of Star Trek. It looks
yeah.
like it should be attached to the Enterprise flying through space.
Yeah.
Rare fiberglass Kevlar two-horse bumper pull by Sundowner. This was actually a Sundowner trailer, $3,500. And by the way, I give it full permission to be $3,500. It's a 1993 very rare trailer. And I'm telling you, this is very rare because I've never seen one before. Only made a couple of years. It's called the Vision Mirage by Sundowner. This trailer is made of fiberglass and Kevlar composite with aluminum floor. Very easy to pull. I use a Toyota Tacoma. Weighs 2,500 pounds, steady on the road, never sways. You can't say that about most two-horse trailers. New tires, heavy-duty suspension, ramp tailgate, 7'4" inside. It's really tall, too. Very eye-catching and always gets compliments. This, I don't know how to describe it. It has a sloped front end that comes down to the hitch. And it really looks like something that should be pulled behind the Enterprise, doesn't it? It's so cool.
I know. I love the top roof where the little sunlights are, you know, little skylights.
It's like a viewing car on a train.
Yeah.
It does. It does kind of, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. We're not kidding, everybody. We're not being sarcastic. This is a really cool trailer.
I know. I want it.
Jennifer is going to post this on Facebook, and Jennifer, you know, post the whole ad, but I want to hear opinions, but I think this is the best trailer we've had yet. This is really,
I hope
really
my
cool.
I hope my two donkeys get in it.
We're going to have to get it delivered from Arizona before we can pick up your donkeys here in Ocala.
Okay.
It's going to be a few days. Beth sent the following one in.
Okay. Bay Roam Sorrel Mare, $1,000, Alvin, Texas. I am looking to sell a 3-year-old Bay Roam started roping horse. Sit well in box, score good, track steer. Does what ass, meek rein, stop hard, a all-round horse, just needs a job. I also have a sorry mare, 3 years old, that has been rode several times, has all her basic. A great handle, has been score in box, and track behind steer will also make a great heel horse. Please contact.
Do you think people, I know that, you know, spelling's a problem for some people, but he said, I also have a sorry mare, S-O-R-R-Y mare.
Yeah, she's sorry. That doesn't sound so good.
No, that doesn't sound good when you're trying to sell a horse. I have a sorry mare, this poor thing. I mean,
and a bay roam.
A bay roam, yes, R-O-A-M. A bay roam. He roams. He roams with the stallion up above and the mare.
This is not just spelling mistakes. This is just ridiculous. This is like, just get your friend to help you write the ad.
And they live in Alvin, Texas. I didn't know there was an Alvin, Texas. I don't think I'd want to live in Alvin. All I can think of is the Chipmunks.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
When you think of Alvin, you'd think of Alvin and the Chipmunks, right? Isn't that where your mind goes first?
Yeah.
You have to tell people all your life, I live in Alvin, Texas, and then you got to listen to Chipmunk jokes. Who wants that?
Yeah. Nobody.
Move already. Yeah. Move out. It can't be that big a town. Move two blocks over. Sienna Sparks sent the following one in. Oh, by the way, I apologize to everybody from Alvin, Texas. Just saying. Sienna Sparks sent in. This is cool, too. You got to post this picture on our Facebook page.
I want
too, Jennifer.
This.
I know. Your horse
I want
good.
Everything we have. Good thing I wasn't on Craigslist this week. I would have had all this stuff.
Dragon costume for a horse, $100 in Whitehall. I'm not sure where Whitehall is. Happy Halloween or anytime, tons of fun. Dragon costume for your horse. The model is 15-1 hands and is about 1,300 pounds. The costume is snug on him. Yes, I think your model needs at least a few pounds. It would fit a taller horse or a smaller horse, but not a heavier horse. I put a little more than $100 into materials alone, plus it took more hours than I care to admit to make it. This is a cool dragon outfit for a horse, especially a white horse. This looks really good on the white horse.
But you know what? It looks like it would be slippery to ride on. You know, the stretchy material?
You know what would have been really cooler? It has a tail. It has a dragon tail that comes out and has a little white spikes on it. And by the way, the dragon outfit is green. It's really cool. It would have been really cool if she could have figured out how to stuff the tail into the tail so that when the horse moved its tail, it moved the whole costume tail. Wouldn't that have been cool?
That would have gotten the kid killed, Glenn.
Yeah. For sure.
Bad idea.
Now, there's a little, like, six-year-old knight in shining armor sitting bareback on the horse. I wonder if the knight in shining armor costume comes with it, too. Maybe the kid comes with it. Who knows?
Maybe.
For $100. Yeah.
It's totally cool.
Our last one is from Robin Kane. You're up.
Okay. Eric Quarter Horse, mare for sale. $1,000, Willits, California. I have a 15-year-old Red Dun Arab Quarter Horse mare for sale. Owner before me used her as a Gymkhana horse. I've had her in an arena. Ab worked her on barrels, but mostly ridden on trails. She loads like a dream and backs out. She's about 153 hands. She is a hard keeper during winter, so graining her is a must. Also, when it comes to her back feet with the trimmer, she's kind of a jerk. $1,000.
Well, you know what? I can understand that. If you're 153 hands tall, you're going to be a hard keeper during the winter and the summer, and the farrier's going to have a problem.
That's huge.
There's definitely going to be issues.
Those feet are too big to trim.
You're about, 5'3"? You would have a heck of a time getting Wormer into that one.
I don't think. I'd have to sneak it in, her food. During the winter.
Can you imagine the bucket? Can you imagine the bucket for a 153-hand horse or the automatic water trough? It would have to be the size of a small house.
I know.
You could just take one of the horse trailers that we see in the ads, cut off the top, and fill it with water, and that's what it would be for a 153-hand horse.
I know.
Great.
And
yeah.
At 15 years old, see, I keep going back to this. At 15 years old, if you can't trim her hind feet yet, I mean, give up.
That's
not
true.
Happening.
That's true. All right, let's pick the winners here. We're running out of time. So we have two great prizes. It's going to be hard to choose this week. Jennifer, maybe you can help out here, which ones you like the best. We have Horse Grooming Solutions. That's $100 of Horse Grooming Solutions. And I'm looking at the picture one of our listeners posted on Facebook. It's a lot of bottles of stuff. So it's horsegroomingsolutions.com is the website. Who wins that? Which one do you like, Jennifer?
Oh, we really started out on a high point. The first ad, it's you, it's me, not you, the Clatter Horse.
Oh,
for Sailor Trade.
Yes.
Hignut. We don't know Hignut's name, but Hignut wins.
They deserve to get it just for doesn't like to tie or load, but will after he throws a fit. That line alone deserves a win. So, okay, Hignut gets the Horse Grooming Solutions tote filled with grooming products, and I think that's a new submitter, too. How about the coveted prize, always when we have it on here, is the EquityMFG.com Flex and Fork. It is the ultimate manure fork. This is a $70 value. Who gets it? What do you think, Wendy? Which one did you like?
I like Ellen Bartke's email for the horse in West Palm Beach. I think both of these ads are so personal. They're so funny.
Yeah, the very rich guy. We did have fun with the rich guy trying to dump his ex or his girlfriend's kid.
He'll trade Jewel for gold coins.
So who was the winner of that?
That's Ellen Barton.
Ellen won. Okay, great. Well, very good. Thank you to everybody who submitted. If you didn't hear your ads today, don't worry. We'll probably get them in a future week. Really Bad Ads will be back again next week. Submit your ads to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. That's Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Put Really Bad Ads in the subject line, and also copy the entire ad and place it in the body of the email, because just the link doesn't always work for us. And check out on Facebook. There's already comments coming in on the super spiffy trailer. I'm not telling you. I'd borrow money to go buy that one here in Florida. If that is the coolest thing ever.
I want it bad. Yeah.
I love that trailer. I don't care how old it is.
These people should
that.
Give us a commission because it's going to be sold by the end of the day, you know?
I never thought about that. We really should. Well, most of them we're not really helping sell most of the products.
No, but this one we are helping. Quick, email them quick before they get all these responses. Tell them we love it.
Thank you, Wendy, for filling in today. We really appreciate it. I hope you have a happy horsey weekend. Get to do something
fun. Well,
thank
you very much. Yeah, I told them I'm going to the dog costume party, and then I'm going to probably just be riding the horses at home.
Now, you're heading off for vacation, too, next week, aren't you? Is it next week?
I am, yes. Dr. Kyle's taking me to Puerto Rico.
Oh, that should be fun.
I know.
That sounds
yep.
fun. All right.
Yep.
Tough to beat you, Wendy. Tough to beat you.
I'm just lucky.
All right, let's call it a day. If you want to find our app, go to the App Store, and you can do it on iOS or Android. Just search for Horse Radio Network. And if you want to listen to past episodes of our show, which a lot of people do, you can find them at horsesinthemorning.com. If you want to listen to Wendy's show, it's drivingradioshow.com. It's a lot of fun. Even if you're not into driving, you will have fun listening to the show because we just have a good time. I mean, we don't take it. We take it immensely seriously, and it's a wonderful show.
Yes.
Right. Say goodbye, Wendy.
Bye. Thank you
Thanks,
so
Jennifer,
much for having me.
You were great. Good guest. Thanks for listening. I need that trailer. Tip it over.
Well, that'll be just fine after you have a fit.
Are we still on, or is this over?